Egypt and had directed them to conquer the land of Canaan, the land that God had set aside, set apart for them to inhabit. The leader of the children of Israel at this time was Joshua. He was directed by the Lord to lead them into the land of their inheritance. And at the twilight of his life, when he was leaving the scene of time, he exhorted the children of Israel to take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, we read in Joshua 23, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go into unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. This was a command. This was an exhortation given by God to Joshua, who then gave it and communicated it unto the people of God, the people of Israel. They failed in this command. They turned away from God. And in Judges 2, in the verse 10 and 12, we read, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. They provoked the Lord to anger. Israel turned away from the Lord, and they followed after their own flesh. They followed after their own desires. They sinned against God, and they became just like the people that they were supposed to drive out of the land. They made marriages with them. They followed their gods. They lived the way they lived, and they rejected the Lord God of Israel. They turned away from the Lord. And during this time, the Lord directed men to come and to rule over Israel. These men were called judges. They were to deliver Israel from their enemies. And our reading today focuses on the preface to the ministry of a man called Gideon. We have read that Israel once again sinned in these days. They sinned in the eyes of the Lord, and the Midianites were permitted by God to come in and to judge the people for their sin. They afflicted Israel, we read, for 7 years in the verse number 1. They were like grasshoppers, such was the multitude of them. They were like grasshoppers. The nation was greatly impoverished. There were food shortages. And this was seen by Gideon threshing wheat at the winepress to hide it from these people. And the situation of Israel was so dire, it was so terrible, that they decided that they would look unto their God. God had promised them this land. He was their God. They remembered the great works that God had done in the past. And they turned their heads unto him, and they cried unto God for help and for mercy. They wanted God to intervene and to speak to them. They wanted a word from God. They wanted direction from him. And in this evil age, when our nation and when our church itself seems so impoverished spiritually, we need to hear the voice of God speaking unto us. We need to hear God speaking to us like unto those of old. In the old days, God spoke through dreams and through visions, through the appearing of angels and through prophets. But in this age, we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the completed Word of God. And it is God's Word that is read and preached for guidance and for direction. God's Word is a living Word. I maybe mentioned this when I was here 2 weeks ago. I can't remember, but I'll mention it again. I've read recently in a book of those who treat the Word of God as just a guidebook, as simply something of rules and directions, rules and regulations. So in other words, the Bible does not give us personal and specific direction. But the Bible is just a set of guides and rules and regulations. And this book shows, well, I don't agree with it. And there are those who, in other churches and all, would hold to this view. But we believe that God's Word speaks to us personally. It directs us personally. But this book promotes the view that God's Word does not speak to us individually. It does not speak to us on a personal basis. It is just guidelines for us. And if we keep the commandments of God, if we seek to follow the rules laid out in Scripture, those great decisions of life that will come before us, we can make our own decision. We don't have to ask the Lord for His guidance. We don't have to ask the Lord for His help. We don't have to ask the Lord for His will in our lives. We just live the way we like. We make our own decisions while following those guidelines in the Word of God. But God's Word is real. God's Word is a living Word. It speaks to us. It directs us. It shows us the way in which we ought to go. When the Lord called me into college, the Lord called me into college through His Word. I didn't just decide one day to go to college. Because the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Lord has told us Christians to serve Him, to spread forth the Word of God. But I didn't just decide to go to college. The Lord called me in there to serve Him, to study to serve Him. It is a living book and it guides us, it directs us. And that is something that we ought to get a hold of. God's Word guides and God's Word directs and has that personal application to His people. And this brings us to our subject today. I do not intend to look at great detail at this passage. But in the will of God, I want us to focus on this phrase, "Thus saith the Lord God." And here God spoke through a prophet. Here God had a specific message for the prophet to bring to His people. And I believe that there are lessons for us here to learn concerning this phrase in the verse 8. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And I want us to consider this statement, "Thus saith the Lord God." Firstly, I want you to notice the authority behind it. The authority behind this statement. At this specific point in history, God had a message for His people. God had a message for His people. I want you to look again at the verse 8 and the phrase that we're going to consider. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." You will notice that the word "Lord" is in capital letters. And that denotes for us that the original Hebrew word here is Jehovah, one of the names of God, Jehovah. And that denotes the eternal God, the one who has no beginning and no end, the one who, to look at it humanly, lives forever. The one who is self-existent. The one who had no beginning. And then we have the word "God," and that is the word "Elohim." It denotes the one who is the creator of all things. So whenever God said to the prophet, "Say to the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel," He was speaking with great authority as the powerful God, as one who is eternal, as one who is self-existent, and as one who is the creator of this world. God had great authority. And as our creator, and as our God, He has that great authority when He communicates to us His word. I want you to consider some passages of Scripture here. Firstly, in Isaiah 45 and verse 18. It says, "For thus saith the Lord." Again, it's the word Jehovah here, "that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And in Deuteronomy 4 in the verse 35 we read, unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know, that the Lord he is God, there is none else beside him. And Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. There is none else. And these verses of scripture show us clearly that there is only one God. There is only one God. And whatever men may say, whether it be in Greek and Roman mythology, of all these different gods that they believed in and that they worshipped, whether it be the heathen today who worship their gods of stone and wood and brass and iron, whether it be those of other religions who worship gods that have been invented by man. Regardless of all that, there is just one God, one living God, and one true God. And that is the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture. And that God is speaking in this passage to his people Israel. The God of heaven is speaking to his people. I want you to note what the Lord says concerning his actions and his works in the past. The Lord said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. He was the one who delivered Israel. He was the one who delivered Israel from Egypt with his power. He delivered them with his great and wondrous power and great and mighty works. In Deuteronomy 26 in the verse 8 it says, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And God moved greatly. You will remember in the book of Exodus how God spoke to Moses at the burning bush and commissioned him to lead Israel and to bring them out of Egypt by the power of God. That God then revealed himself in the plagues of Egypt. He showed forth his power in judging those that oppressed his people. And at the Red Sea, he delivered his people by parting the waters so that they could cross to the other side. And then judging their enemies by bringing the waters to close again over them. This God had fed them in the wilderness. He had brought forth water from the rock. There was manna and quail from heaven by which he fed his people. In the conquest of Canaan, God had demonstrated his power time and time again. And so these Israelites, they knew the power of God. They knew the authority of God. And they knew that he was their God. They had been instructed to remember the Lord and his marvelous works for them. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 7 it says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee. Thy elders and they will tell thee. The command here is given for the message to be passed from generation to generation. For the history of Israel to be passed down through the generations. If you do not know, find your father, find one of the elders who will explain it to you, who will pass that knowledge, that history, on to you. They were exhorted here then to consider the authority of their God. When we think of the great authority of God, of the Trinity, of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well, he has great authority. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. Thus saith the Lord God. There's a great authority behind it, the authority of heaven behind what God says. Our God is holy. Our God is pure. Our God is sinless. And his word can be trusted. His promises are true. And child of God, cling to the promises of God, for they are true. They will happen and they will take place. God has that great authority. And when we hear the word of God, when we listen to the word of God, we are hearing it with the authority of God. It is not the message of the preacher. It is the message of God. And it has that full authority stamped upon it. And we ought to consider that. God spoke here as the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God of Israel. And that great authority was present in it. When God speaks, He speaks as the omnipotent God, as the all-powerful, infinite God of heaven. And we should listen unto Him. And then secondly here, I want you to consider the value of it. The value of thus saith the Lord. And firstly here, I want you to see that it is the prophet's message. Thus saith the Lord is the message of the prophet. We read this in the verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. A prophet in the scripture can do one of two things. A prophet can foretell the future. God will give him a message concerning prophecy, concerning the future, and the prophet will bring that message to the people. The prophet can also foretell the word of God. And that is simply just being a preacher, just telling forth the word of God. And here he is being a preacher. Here he is telling forth the message that God had for his people. The true prophet, the true preacher, the true proclaimer of the word of God does not obtain, as we've just noted, the message by himself. He does not form that message himself, but it is given to him by the Lord. It is given to him by the Lord God of heaven. The preacher does not base his message upon the doctrines or teachings of man, but he bases it upon what God has revealed. It was the Apostle Paul, when he was defending himself, when he was defending the gospel of Christ over in Galatians chapter 1, he said that there was only one gospel. But he went on from that, and he said in the verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul preached, the same gospel that we preach today, was revealed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the gospel, that was the message that he preached. It had been revealed to him by God. It was a thus saith the Lord. Here in Judges chapter 6, the people have cried unto God because of the wickedness of themselves. And that wickedness had brought upon them great misery. The Midianites had come into the land, and a prophet was sent by God with a message from him for the people. And the message the prophet of God brings, or the preacher brings, is important. It is a vital message, because it is the message of God to a congregation, to a people, to a specific person. And when the preacher or minister brings their message, it is God's message. They do not base that upon their own emotions, upon their own experience, or whatever else. They speak as thus and thus saith the Lord. As thus and thus saith the Lord. So to know the mind of God, the preacher must diligently seek the word of God. He must pray for the message that he will bring as God's instrument, as God's vessel. The Jewish prophets, they spoke as thus, and thus saith the Lord. The Lord gave them that message. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, they all spoke as thus saith the Lord. Moses and Aaron, they spoke as thus saith the Lord. In Exodus 5 verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. They spoke as thus saith the Lord. And if you read the account of Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh during the time of the plagues, you will find that God continually gave them a message to proclaim on his behalf. And how true that is also of the preacher. Sunday by Sunday, he proclaims the message God has given him. The Sunday school teacher, the children's worker, boldly proclaims the message that God has given unto them. It is not just the preacher that speaks as thus saith the Lord, but also those who engage in the various aspects of the work of the church. Those who teach the young people, those who teach the boys and the girls, those who perhaps have that opportunity to proclaim the word of God in the open air, in the pulpit, wherever. They have to obtain that message from the Lord, as thus saith the Lord. And the preacher, whether they be ordained, whether the one proclaiming the word of God is a children's worker or a Sunday school teacher, they must obtain the message from God to bring to those whom they have to speak unto. They are not to speak as themselves. They are to speak as thus saith the Lord. Those of you who are involved in such labours, do you seek the Lord for the message that you are to bring? Do you seek the Lord concerning what you have to say to those under your care? We are to speak as thus saith the Lord. The Old Testament saints spoke as thus saith the Lord. They did not speak as thus saith themselves. We ought to remember that when somebody brings the word of God faithfully and truthfully, they are bringing the Lord's message for you. The preacher preaches unto the people, and he has that message from God, and we have a duty to listen to it, to hearken unto it, because God speaks through the preaching of the word of God. God speaks through the preaching of the word of God. And let me say to the sinner here this morning, God speaks to you. God has said, thus saith the Lord to your soul. God speaks unto you and warns you of your sin and of your disobedience. We read in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And at the verse 30. We read that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That was God's message. He commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. God has a message for you. A message warning of sin. A message warning of your disobedience and of the wrath to come. And God's message to you is for you to repent. For you to turn from your sin. And to look on to Jesus Christ. The preacher has that message from God to saint and to sinner alike. And we could go on and we could bring forth verses that God has proclaimed concerning sin and concerning the wrath to come. But I want to move on, and I want to say that you may think, as a child of God, it is a wonderful thing for God to speak unto your soul. And it is. It is good for us to hear God speak. But God does not always have what we could term a nice word for us. God does not always speak a message that is pleasing to our ears. I want you to turn back to Judges chapter 6. And in that passage that we have read in the verse 8, 9, and even in the verse 10, the Lord gives his message to Israel. And in verse 10 he said, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Ye have not obeyed my voice. And God has said that he had delivered them. He had given them the land. But they had not obeyed his voice. They had sinned against him. And this message, was it an encouragement? Well, the fact that God had listened to the people and had given them an answer could be grounds of encouragement. But the message itself was not encouraging. The message itself was a rebuke. Ye have not heard my voice. Ye have not heard my voice. They were reminded of their failures and of their sin. And nothing else said by the prophet is recorded for us. But in the next few verses, God called and commissioned Gideon to go forth by his power to be the deliverer of his people. But the message God sent was a rebuke. The message you may hear from God, it may be a rebuke to your soul. It may be something that you do not like yourself. Maybe something that hurts or pierces your soul. But you ought to realize that it is the message of God. It is the message that God has for you. It is the message that God wants you to hear at that time. And it must be hearkened unto. The prophet of God also should not be despised. The prophet of God is a prophet of God. If he is a true and faithful proclaimer of the word of God, he should not be despised. Because he brings forth God's truth as it is. He should not be despised by the people of God. As far as he proclaims the truth, and nothing but the truth, he should not be despised by us, but he should be hearkened unto. And then secondly here, thus saith the Lord, is the prerogative of the church. Our time is moving on here, but I want you to consider Colossians 1 verse 18. It says concerning Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ is the head of the church. The church is guided by the hand of God. Our final authority is the word of God. It is not the words of man. We are not like the church of Rome, and who have substituted the thus saith the Lord for the authority of the Pope and of councils and of the church. They have turned away from the authority of God's word. But we believe in the final authority of the word of God. It is the foundation of the church. It is from where we get our doctrines and our teachings. Consider the worship of God in the tabernacle. What was the authority or the guidance for its size and its measurements? Its vessels, its form of worship, the Levitical priesthood was all given to them by the Lord. The Lord directed his worship. The Lord directed how the worship of God was to take place. And so it is with us. God has directed us. We do not base our doctrines and beliefs on any other thing apart from the word of God. Yes, we have our confessions of faith. But our confessions of faith are based upon the word of God. Their interpretation of the truths found in God's word. And our final authority is the word of God. All we preach, the message we preach is from the word of God. That is the authority of the church. And then, finally here, I want you to see that thus saith the Lord gives personal encouragement. When God speaks, there is personal encouragement to be found. The children of Israel, in Judges 6, they were in a sorry position. But God spoke to them. He had heard their cries, and he answered, and he sent Gideon to deliver them. But I want to say that the child of God can only be truly encouraged, can only be truly satisfied by a word from God themselves. They can only be truly encouraged by a word from God. And whatever your trial may be this morning, whatever your problem may be, seek a message from God. Seek a thus saith the Lord for your soul, because God has encouragement for you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And perhaps this morning, child of God, that valley that you seem to be travelling down, it may be dark, it may be wearisome, but God has encouragement for you. God is there. Isaiah 43, what wonderful words. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. And what a promise that is. What an encouragement that is. Something that can be cleaved unto by the child of God. Something that can encourage us. And throughout the scriptures, there are many occasions when God spoke to his people, when God encouraged his people, and when God spoke to them and gave them a thus saith the Lord. Are you discouraged today? Are you downcast? Seek a message from God. Seek God to speak to your soul. A thus saith the Lord for your soul. And then I want you to consider finally here our last point, the response to it. And we'll move across this very quickly. The response to the thus saith the Lord. We've considered the authority of it. We've considered the value of it. But now let us consider the response that we should make to the word of God. Firstly, here it was heard. Israel heard the words of the prophet. It is important to hear the message of God. It is important to listen to what God has to say to your soul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. We must hear the message. And then we must heed the message. It is not simply enough to hear the word of God. We must hearken unto it. We must heed it. The word of God may seem strange to us. The message that God has for us may be difficult for us to understand. We may think, why is God giving us this specific message? But God has a reason. God has a reason. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows best for his children. And we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We are to be doers of the word of God. One of the Puritans said, be careful to practice every sermon you hear, for practice is the life of all. What improvement is there if we understand our duty and practice it not? He is saying, what good is it? What improvement is there if we just hear? If we just hear what the preacher is saying, if we just hear what God is saying, we do not practice it. We do not do it. We are not doers of the word of God. In the days of Jonah, he went to Nineveh. He preached the message of God. And the sinners there heard the message. And they turned from their sin. They heeded the message that God had given to them. Sinner, this morning, will you heed the message that God has given to you? You've heard the gospel perhaps time and time again. Will you heed it? Will you come to Christ and will you ask him for salvation? Like those of Nineveh that repented, will you ask him to save your soul? And then the message here, it gave hope. Great hope and encouragement was obtained from this, thus saith the Lord. The people of Israel knew when the prophet had spoken that God had heard their cry. That God had heard their cry. And while they were rebuked for their sin, God heard their cry. And God raised up a man to stand for him and to deliver the nation. When we think of our land, we think of its great need spiritually. And we too need to hear the prophet of the Lord with a message from God. It may be very well a message of rebuke to us. We ought to listen to it and hearken unto it, because we too need God to come and to work in our land. This nation at that time was in a great need. It was miserable, it was impoverished, and it needed God to work. And in the life of Gideon, God used 300 men to deliver Israel. And the power of God is seen throughout. We need to hear, a thus saith the Lord. We need to cling unto the Lord in prayer and ask him to deliver our land. We need to hear a message from God. Whatever your situation is today, whether it be in regard to the spiritual decline in our land, whether it be personal issues that you have, you need to hear, thus saith the Lord. It may not be that nice message to you, but it is still God's message that you must hear. You must hearken unto it. You must respond to it. Because it will give you great hope. It will give you great encouragement for the future. But we must hear God speaking unto us. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today for His name's sake.